sometimes when you believe the impossible, I don't know what the impossible for you is. I've actually got some corn here from Dyersville, Iowa, from the Field of Dreams. Why in the world would anyone plow up their livelihood and build a baseball field? Well, I could tell you I'd do it in a heartbeat. It wouldn't take much for me. But here in Voices, the Field of Dreams, today is our last day in our summer series, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And today is a Field of Dreams. A Field of Dreams. I don't know if you've had any dreams lately. I've had a flood of them. In fact, I had a flood of them this morning. I woke up about every half hour, and I kept having these dreams. Somebody came up to me the other day, because I actually had a dream where I had the lottery numbers. And I woke up and I thought, okay, am I supposed to go buy a lottery ticket? I think it was just recently $330 million. $333 million. And I remember having the dream. It was so clear to me. And I woke up and I wrote the numbers down. I thought, do I go buy a lottery ticket? I've never done that. And I'm not going to say whether you should or shouldn't. That's between you and God. I know the deals you make with God. Lord, if you let me win, you know I'm going to give the church a lot of money. And I'll tell you, your tithe of $33 million would be nice. I had a lady, we were getting some carpet, looking to order some carpet, and this lady at the carpet place said to me, Reverend, I want you to know I've bought a lottery ticket. And if I win, I'm donating the carpet to the church. And I know she's making this, I know how these deals are made, right? Do something good, and of course God's going to let you win. But, you know, I'm going to guess there were probably 300 million deals with God last week. Because I heard a few of them. People are calling me up and go, why are you telling me this? As if you're going to get some favor, God's going to give you the lottery numbers. I remember having that dream, and I had those. Now, was it God? No, I wasn't going to go spend my money, my $2 or $5. I don't even know what they cost. But whatever it is, I didn't go spend it. What does it cost? Shame on you guys. I don't know. You know what? If that's something you want to do in recreation, that's between you and God. For me, I just don't do that. I'm not a lottery guy. I don't get into it. But I do know this. How do you know that dream? When I had those numbers, I thought, what if they would have won? I don't even remember. You know, I wrote them down. I don't even remember what the lottery numbers were. I didn't even check it, okay? And the Powerball. How does he know that? Let's just stop right there. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. This summer, the Lord said to me at the beginning of the summer, He said, I want you to call the mall owner. Now, I'm not a Field of Dreams kind of guy in the sense where I hear voices like that, okay? If you build it, they will come. That's not me, okay? I've never heard an audible voice of God, but I do know God's voice. And I know that God told me to call the mall owner and say, we'd like to have some space and open up something for our teenagers. There are 10,000 plus teenagers that live with one half hour of this church. And 90% of them, according to Youth for Christ, do not attend church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And so I called the mall owner and we had a conversation. It was a fun conversation. I said to him, he says, yes, Reverend, what would you like? I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to call you. He goes, oh, again? Now, when I say, oh, again, you need to understand that it's only happened one other time. And it's when we moved in here and we had no place to go in the middle of the winter after Christmas. We were told we had to leave the steakhouse. And so the Lord said, as clear as day, when I was out here praying, walking through here, at about 20 degrees with snow blowing, you're to be out here. And I thought, not out here in this dead end. Who's going to come out here in the dead end place and be a part of a church at a mall that's hardly functioning? And the Lord said, if you build it, they will come. Not those weren't the words. He just said, do it. Call the owner. So I called the owner. We met in here, and a few that are here still in that, those original days, we met right in this middle section. There weren't doors here. This was a warehouse with things hanging from the ceiling. It was junk. It was stacked. I mean, there was more junk in here than you could imagine. And as we kind of walked through the process, I said, how much? And he said $3,000 a month, but if you want it for long term, you're going to have to pay more than that. And we went to the next section, because we said, oh, we could have a church in here, but where are we going to have offices or classes? We went to the next section, and we said, okay, how much? He said $3,000. We went to the next section where those offices are, and we said, how much? He said $3,000. He said, there's a small meeting space. We could fit 60 back there. We'll have to have two services, but we could do it. And I said, $3,000? We're only paying $2,000 a month now. Where are we going to come up with $3,000 a month plus all the utilities? How in the world? But the Lord said, do it. Now, I don't know if you know when a dream is a dream and it's you, or if a dream is a dream and it's God. Because that's a big question a lot of people ask. They say, Pastor, I want to make sure I know this is God and not me. That's a good question. I have a lot of dreams. I had my REM this morning. I woke up several times. I remember vividly several of my dreams this morning. In one of them, I was flying. I fly a lot in my dreams. I do. It's strange because it's real to me. I'm walking along. I even know how to do it. And I've woken up sometimes thinking, I know how to do that. Of course, I can't do that. I can't fly. I know that's not a real dream. I mean, it's not real. It is a dream. It's not something God's saying, I want you to fly. Okay? I'm not standing on the edge of any buildings attempting this. I had the lottery number thing. I've had other things. I dreamt this morning that for the youth offering that my wife and I were to give $800. I thought, what? There's no way. And I talked to my wife who does all of our finances. She says, no, let's give $1,000. In the dream. Yeah, she's going, in your dreams. The youth are going, come on. And I was like, and I got that tingly feeling, just like in the scripture where it says, I'm going to tell you something, Samuel. It says, and the Lord said, I'm about to do something that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. I kind of got a neat feeling thinking, really, we can do that? We have that to give? And then I woke up. How do you know when it's a dream and how do you know when it's real? Well, I knew that God had spoken to me to hear this voice to say, bring the church out here to this building. And when I'm talking to the owner of the mall, we're standing in the middle, and I said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. And as I'm standing there, it just as sure as we were here, the Lord said, ask for all three. Now, we couldn't afford one, $3,000. That was going to be a stretch. That was pushing us. So I said, okay, how much for all three? And he said, $3,000. And you know the story. Many of you know the story. And he said, $3,000. And I said, no, for all three, and I want them for 3 years in a contract. And he looked at me and he said, Reverend, $3,000. I said, no, all three. I want this one, I want that one, and I want the next one. And he said, $3,000 a month. I said, where do we sign? He says, and we're going to give you $25,000 to remodel. Now, you know that's God. And I said, who in the world is going to come out here to this dead-end place? And here you all are. And God said, build it. They'll come. Because it's not where you are, it's what you do. And God has been so good. I mean, we have seen the hand of God move in more ways than I could even have possibly imagined. I don't know about you. Have you not been blown away? Those of you that might have been here from day one or 2 years ago or a year ago or even in the last 6 months to say, I have seen the hand of God move in ways that I can't even imagine. I've been a pastor for 25 years. And I have to tell you, the last 3 years of my life, I have been kind of standing on the edge going, okay, God. And he keeps pushing. And I'm thinking, I'm not jumping. Yeah, that's what he's saying, jump. And I said, I don't want to jump. And God is saying, do things that are out there. How do you know when God is telling you to plow up the corn and build a field? Because this doesn't make sense. But when God speaks, it sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, it may not make sense to us. But God, it always makes sense. And when he says plow it, we plow it. And I'm ready to do some plowing. God spoke to the little boy by the name of Samuel. And this little guy was dedicated to the Lord. He was raised in church, literally raised in church, by the priest. His mom couldn't have children. God blessed her, and she said, she made, you know, the lottery deal. If you let me have a baby, I'll give them to you. Well, guess what? She had a baby. And it took her 2 years to fulfill her promise because it was like, wait a minute, I had a baby. And God goes, when are you going to, come on. And her husband kept saying, when are you going to, come on, you promised God, fulfill it. And finally, she gave her son to the Lord to be raised in the temple, not by her, but by Eli. And so he's sleeping one night, and as he's lying there, this little boy, not sure his age, but as he's lying there one night, the scripture says, the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and one night, I love this, Eli is sleeping. And Eli, whether he's dreaming or not, hears a voice, and it says, or Samuel, I'm sorry, is sleeping. And he hears a voice saying, Samuel. He gets up and he does what you would probably do. He goes into Eli's room. He says, yeah, you called for me. He says, no, I'm not calling you. Go back and go to bed. You're having a dream, basically. And so he goes back and he lies down. It happens a second time. He gets up. He does the same thing. He says, what do you want? And I can just imagine Eli, go back to bed. Can I lay down in your room? I need a glass of water, please. Just go back to bed. He goes back to bed. Third time, when he's doing this, this is going on, and the Lord called to Samuel a third time. He got up, and he said, here I am, you called me. And Eli finally went, oh, I know what's happening. God's speaking to this boy. God is speaking to the boy. And I want to let you know, when you have your REM, your rapid eye movement, you know, psychologists tell us that's when you have most of your dreams, that God has a REM for you. God has dreams for us. The Bible says very clearly that young men ought to be dreaming dreams. Young women ought to have visions. We ought to be having these. In fact, it's after Christ's resurrection. It's in the book of Acts. And it says, I will pour out my spirit on you. And you ought to be having dreams in your life. You ought to be dreaming and having visions in your life. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Let me translate that in the King James, and you go through and you look at it. It says, without revelation, the people cast off restraint. What it means is this. If you don't have any purpose, who cares? That's a good way to translate that. You ever see anybody without any purpose? They live. Who cares? What are you going to do today? I don't know. What are you going to do tomorrow? Who cares? What about next year? Who cares about that too? And the Bible says that we have these REMs. How do you know it's from God? In the 1400s, a young explorer by the name of Christopher Columbus looked for someone to finance his dream. And finally he got, I believe it was the Queen of Spain, finally said, I'm going to give you some ships. And she sent him out on his dream. What was his dream? He believed that there was a new world and he was going to find it. And so he went out on his dream. You need to understand, his dream, a lot of people around him looked and says, that doesn't make any sense. You don't plow the corn to build a baseball field. You don't take ships to go around the world. In fact, the world is flat. You're going to fall off the end. This is what they believed. So in his world, his dream didn't make any sense. So finding someone to finance it made no sense. The queen says, I'll do it. And oh, by the way, you need to understand, on every map it also said they had these large pictures of ships being swallowed up by dragons. And the maps all read, here there be dragons. You know why I think a lot of us miss out on our dreams? Because we look at the dragons instead of the new worlds. God is calling us to something, but sometimes we're afraid that we're going to fall off the edge. So a young man by the name of Christopher Columbus, he plowed up the field. And he discovered new worlds. And what a great discovery that must have been. One, that they didn't get swallowed by dragons. And two, they didn't fall off the end of the planet. Now, I don't know about you, what's going on in your life. My guess is that we need to have some dreams in our life. We need to let God begin to dream. We need a field of dreams. And I want to let you know, I believe that there are a field of dreams happening all around us. I believe God is going to do things in this community that in the next couple years is going to absolutely turn things around. I believe God's doing things as a church that's being a difference maker in this community, that God wants to do even more in us and through us than we could ever imagine, hope, or even ask. I believe God wants to do that. How do I know that? Because here's our REM. God gives REM. It's the first one is revelation. That's your R. I know it's rapid eye movement, but let's just turn this into God's REM, okay? The first thing is we need to have revelation. How do I know God's voice? That's revelation, to reveal something. How do I know when God speaks to me? How do I know when God speaks to me? We're going to come back to this in just a second. The Bible says, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." In a field of dreams, a guy hears a voice, and everybody says, "You're hearing voices." Okay. I hope that you hear God's voice. Children, when they grow up, here's the question, "Dad, do you really hear God's voice?" And the answer is yes. Do you know when God speaks to you? Absolutely. How do you know when God speaks to you? That is a great question. How do you know when God speaks to you? I have a friend that has a whistle. His whistle is so loud, it will shatter your eardrums. His kids know his whistle, don't they? Anybody else can whistle, and they will pay no attention. But when you whistle, they know your whistle, don't they? I know your whistle. I jump when you whistle, okay? It is so distinctive that I know his kids. You could have 1,000 parents out at the beach whistling, but as soon as Dave whistles, I'll bet his kids are like, "That's my dad. And I better be moving, I think. Something better." Yeah, I'm seeing nod. I'm seeing that. And the kids, you guys know your dad's whistle, right? I don't know. Yeah, there he is. Yep. Isn't it distinctive? I mean, I could whistle, it wouldn't mean anything. But when he whistles, it's dad, right? Absolutely. How do you know that? Because you've heard it so many times and you know it's dad. I was at a football game the other night and it was great. This mom sitting behind me is screaming for her son. He took his helmet off. He made a great tackle. I mean, he cleaned his clock, he rang his bell, and the guy was flat on his back. He didn't even have the football, but he'd still hit him. And the mom on the side, she's up in the stands right behind me, and she's yelling, "Hey, blah, blah, blah," and yelling his name. And he's not looking. Did he not know her voice? Oh, yes, he did. He's on the football field. He's not responding. Mom going, "You're so cute." That's my mom. Be quiet. Of course he knows her voice. You don't respond to mom when you're out there doing these things. Why do they know that voice? Because you could be in a crowd of 1,000, but you can pick it out. Why? Because you know it so well. And when Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice," here it is. The closer you get to God, the more you know his voice. And it's very distinct. And when God calls you to do something, you just kind of get used to it. It just happens so often. You ought to get in that place where the Bible says in James, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." I know God's voice. I know when God speaks to me. I know when it's me and I know when it's God. Why? Because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." That's pretty good because sheep are pretty dumb. And we're not sheep. Even though we were called sheep. And if sheep know his voice, people know his voice. If you have the Spirit of God within you, you can know God's voice. And when he speaks to you, here it is. You know that you know that you know it's God. And there's no doubt about it. That's what revelation is. When God begins to reveal things, and here it is. It doesn't have to make sense. I do that. What are you doing? If I did things that made sense, I probably wouldn't be standing here today as your pastor. When my wife and I 3 years ago said, God said, "Start a church." And I had 5 children, mouths to feed, a wife, and a mortgage payment, and all my bills. You guys, anybody relating? And God said, "Start a church." Where? Well, anywhere but St. Clair County. And this was before things got really bad. Start a church. Did not God not know things were going to get really bad? And there were 6 couples in my living room that started that church with us on that Friday night. You want to do things that make sense? Fine. I want to do things that make sense to God. You see, the revelation comes, and people say, "Well, how do you know it's God?" Well, you can't just have the voice. The second thing, the revelation comes. The second thing is the endorsement, the E. You've got to have God's endorsement. And here's God's endorsement. By the way, I put these up here. There's some more down there. These are Bibles that people have forgotten in here. I don't want to read any names in here. But I know this one. You live in my house. That is terrible. See, being a pastor's kid, So you can be a wrestler's kid. You can be a welder's kid. You can be all these other things. But being a pastor, you don't have a chance because they're not up giving speeches in front of people. But Spence, don't forget your Bible. All right. Well, as long as we're at it, let's not just pick on the kid. There's some adults, too, that need to pick up their Bibles. Bob. I'll just say Bob, and there's some other ones. That's God's endorsement right there. You want to know if God's voice is true? You want an endorsement? Go to the Word of God. You see, three times God gave revelation to the little boy Samuel. It took three times before he went, you know what? Okay, I'm getting this. This is God speaking. Eli finally went, oh, this is the voice of God. I'm getting this. He's the priest. He's getting it. Now he needs endorsement. And the Bible says in verse 21, it says he continued to show himself to Samuel through his word. You see, if you came up to me and said, Pastor, I'm supposed to do this, I would say, well, what does God's word say? Does it line up with the Bible? Now, if you don't know the Bible, you're probably not going to hear God's voice because you can't confirm God's voice. You're hearing voices. Now, God may be trying to speak to you, but you've got to soak yourself into the Word. It's got to happen. I want God's endorsement. No wonder why it says, the boy Samuel, in verse 1, ministered before the Lord. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord was rare. I believe today we live in a day where the word of the Lord is rare. I don't think a lot of people get into the word of God. I think we're really busy trying to catch up on the news, trying to catch up on our finances, trying to catch up on our family time, trying to catch up on our recreation. Honestly, I believe the word of the Lord is very rare. A lot of people don't know Scripture. And if you tell a story, usually it gets twisted here and there, and it's not so accurate. You want endorsement from God? You need to know God's Word. He will give you the endorsement that we need. And then finally this, miracles. Let me get to this. The M is miracles. He said, I'm going to do something that's going to cause the people's ear to tingle. Don't you love it when God does something incredible and you just go, wow. That was awesome. That was a God thing. God has been doing God things over and over and over. I called the owner of the mall, and the teens know it. We had a lock-in down there. We got 4,000 square feet down the mall, about a quarter of a mile down here. It's down at the end of the mall. And the owner of the mall says, yeah, I'll give you a place, Pastor, for 9 months. I said, it's a 9-month experiment. I don't know what's going to happen. We don't have a youth pastor right now. We have some great youth workers. We have a solid group of teens. We really do. And they're just hungry for something good to happen. And so here's what we did. I took the corn and I plowed it and I called him up. I said, can we have that space? He says, yes, you can. I knew God was asking us asking me to go call the owner. And so when he said, what is it? I said, well, God spoke to me again. And he says, what do you want? I says, This is what I want. I said, I'm looking for a space for these teens. We have no money whatsoever. They didn't do stockholders. They haven't done fundraisers. I hate fundraisers. I really do. That's why I do stockholders. They didn't do one last year. They have no money. I was telling a couple last night from a church. I said, yeah, we do a lot of musical things. I saw a young man that I hadn't seen in about 5 or 6 years, Jesse, who was in a musical western years ago. And I said, yeah, that night we raised $32,000 for the youth group that night. That's all I ever do. I said, that's the way to do it. Now I don't have to sell pizza cards, ice cream cards, bowl-a-thons that's going on tonight, fundraiser this and door-to-door that. I hate those things. I said, the youth have no money. And the owner of the mall said, okay, let's do it for a year. And the board and the church said, yep, we'll pay the rent only $1,000 a month for 9 months. We got the summer for free. I said, that's very affordable for 4,000 square feet. He calls me up several weeks ago and he says, the gal's going out of business next door to you. Do you want that space? I said, how much? And he told me, I said, there's no way. I said, I told you, we're doing this by faith. He said, she's going out of business. I'd like to have you down here. I said, well, I'd love to be down here too. How big is it? And he said, it's 11,000 square feet. This is 5. That's 11. He said, do you want it? I said, I would love to have it. if you build it, they will come. But I had no way of paying what she was paying. He calls me up a week later. He says, Reverend, can you pay $500 more than what you were going to pay? I said, no, there's no way. He calls me up a week later. And I love, because God does, Ephesians 3:20, God does exceedingly and abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. And he calls me up. He says, why don't you just take it? That way your church has got that end of the mall. A field of dreams. 5,000 square feet that just got approved by the state inspector. We got kids ready to go, but we got a children's wing, regardless, for our kids on Wednesdays and Sundays, even regardless of a child care, where we can tell families about Jesus and pray for their children and have affordable child care. Are you kidding me? A field of dreams. Who would have dreamed that we'd be packed out in the summertime at church, where churches are usually pretty empty and many are closing these? And I said, yeah, we'll take it. And then I called the board and said, can we take it? And they said, yeah, we can take it. See, the finance were already approved and the finances didn't change. The building just got 2 times larger. So we went in there and we looked at it and we said, we got no money. And here's what happened. I said to the teens, remember this? I said, we don't have any money. Your parents 2 years ago got to see this place get built for nothing. I mean, the stage, the projector, the lights, the sound, everything. We don't owe a penny on anything. God provided everything 2 years ago. What a hand of God. And I said to the teens, I said, you, and then all of a sudden I thought, you weren't a part of that. Your parents were. And as I was telling them, I thought about this scripture in Deuteronomy. And as I even read it this morning as I was at home just studying and going over this stuff. And what's amazing in Deuteronomy, it says this in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. It says, love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands. Now watch this. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the Lord God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs He performed and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, the king, and to the whole country. Your kids were not the ones who saw that. And I said, if we're going to move in here, we need to see the hand of God move. We got no money. It'll take at least $20,000 to even get that thing open. In the last 2 weeks that we've been working over there, someone called and said, Pastor, for a cafe, we've got a whole set of oak kitchen cabinets, tops and bottoms, countertops. Oh, by the way, the guy's going to donate not only all that, but a refrigerator, a stove, and a microwave oven. Pastor, we've got a car and a bus, 200 rims, 1,000 tires, and anything else you need from a junkyard to decorate it, free. Okay, went over and talked to a guy who has a 1936 Bonnie and Clyde gangster car. He wanted all this money for it. And I said, I don't have the money. He says, well, here's what I'll do for the church. I'll give you it for this, and you pay me when you get it. The kids went out and raised funds. $800 came in by going door-to-door and people donating things. One thing after the other, 20 televisions donated, sound systems, surround sound systems, speakers, on and on. I could just keep going. Couches, chairs. The other night, I gave the kids an egg. They did a road rally. I said, here's an egg. Go play bigger or better. Go out in the community and just trade that egg up. You have 1 hour. Trade for something bigger or better. The kids came back with TVs, couches, gaming systems, surround sound, they came back with, we've got a box of cards, a set of NFL cards, 1990 cards, not even open, that are for sale that we're going to eBay, or if you want to come and give us money for it. It's got Jerry Rice in there, Barry Sanders. It's got all these guys. There it is. Somebody gave us a baseball marked 1999 from Tiger Stadium, the last baseball still in its package from the last game held at Tiger Stadium. Somebody gave $50. Somebody gave these 30-inch TVs. A young fireman down in Marysville gave us pretty much his entire basement furniture, a ping pong table. Somebody gave a group a van. They came back with a van. A van! I said, what are we going to do with a van? They said, well, if it works and it's not too rusty, we can paint it and make it look like the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo and put it in there. I said, you guys got a van. Use the parts. We're plowing down the corn and building a field of dreams. We're doing what God wants us to do. And you know what? Everywhere we've turned in the last 3 years, God has provided everything we need. And I don't doubt that God's going to continue, that we're going to reach these teens and these children in this community. There's no doubt in my mind that we're going to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ. I close with this, and then I'm going to ask the teens to come forward, and we're going to take an offering for the junkyard. That's what it's called. If you haven't been over there, you got to go in. There's a guy painting this right on the other side of this wall in the cafe is Fat Albert and the gang coming out of the junkyard. And Fat Albert's got a giant hamburger, and everybody's carrying him. Over on this wall, about the size of these two walls, is a giant Optimus Prime from the Transformers, his head and his arm coming up, and a giant cross in his hand. And above it, it says, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The main room is called the body shop, where lives are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone. Behold, all things are made new. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants us to reach the young people of this community. There's no doubt that not only has He given us revelation for grace, but He's also given us endorsement. And then He's doing miracles to give us the fruition of what we're doing over and over and over. I just sit back and watch it. I was having dinner last night, and I'll close with this. I was having dinner last night with a couple that from this wedding, some relatives, and they go to a church down at Rock Point. And they were telling me, they said, Pastor, what you're saying is what we've been seeing in our church too. He said, we're working in Guatemala with this church, and we wanted to build this church for this community, and we ran out of money. Couldn't finish the church. Couldn't finish half of the church. And we said, we need to take a huge offering. So Rock Point, a wonderful church, took a huge offering, and it was still only half of what they needed to finish the church in Guatemala. And I love the way God works. I love the way God works. And they're telling me this last night. They said, somebody was digging down there in Guatemala on one of the teams. And as they were digging, they found something underground. They didn't tell anybody because they didn't want a swarm of people. They uncovered Mayan ruins on their church property. Not only did they finish the church, but they're set pretty good for a long, long time. God knew underneath that church was Mayan ruins. Hundreds of years before they ever thought about planting a church on that spot. You see, our God already knows what He wants to do. The fun for me as a pastor at Grace is to walk this journey and watch Him uncover it as we go along. It is a joy to minister with God's people in this community. When people say 24% unemployment, churches should be closing their doors because people are moving out so fast, they can't afford anything. And I say, God, You are just unfolding great things in our lives and in our kids' lives. That's what God is doing. So when I say a field of dreams, would you help? We may not be plowing corn. We may be planting fields of dream. Join us in that. I'm going to ask the teens to come forward at this time, and we're going to pray. This is the junkyard offering. We've been talking about it for a few weeks. It's a special offering. It's not our tithes. This is just something. And I told the kids, I said, if you get $100, $200, it doesn't matter. Whatever God does, whatever God's been laying on people's hearts, this is for the teen center. This is to help pay some of those costs of things that they need to finish up on. And you can look online for other things or call the office if you want to know what they still need. I think it's a sound system and a projector. I think those are the two biggest final things that they need. So let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You that we are different from all of Your creation. We dream. Some of us dream when we're asleep, but some of us dare to dream while we're still awake. God, thank You for the revelation of God. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for speaking to our hearts. Thank You for these young people that are excited, that are working weekly over here to have a place that lives will be changed. Thank You for what You're doing. Bless these gifts. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Go ahead. They're going to take that offering now. And so they're going to pass those around. If you haven't had a chance just to see what's going on, we're going to open up two wings. We're going to open up the youth wing today after service. We'll unlock that. And I know Cheryl Lee and the gals and Bonnie and those, they're so excited what's happening next door. That's open for you to see today. The open house is today at 3 o'clock.